starting in January, something like that?
Yes. Something about like that. Yeah. David does more than me, so he's busier than me on that matter.
Okay.
Yes. And if I have a kid that is sick, I probably do even less than that.
Yeah. Well, it's an important thing that people need to go through, and we always remind people when David has been in and talked about it that if you're coming to these events, what do you need to bring?
Oh, of course, you need to bring your driver's license.
Okay.
A lot of people forget about that.
Okay.
I don't even know how that's possible. You shouldn't be driving. And you need to
bring... Yeah, if you drove to the event and you don't have your driver's license, that's not a good thing.
Yes.
Okay.
And you need to bring your pesticide applicator card.
Okay.
That card has a barcode number.
Okay.
Which makes us easier to register too. But if you don't bring it for X or Y reason, we can still look you up in the system.
Okay.
It just takes a little bit longer.
Now, is this something people got to go through every year?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, no. You get certifications, like if I certified in 2015, I'll be able to recertify again in 2019.
Okay.
So, yeah, if I'm not mistaken, give it or take, it's 5 years.
Okay. Well, sometimes people, you know, it's like when people ask you what your phone number is, they go, I don't use it. So sometimes you forget the simplest part of it. And I did that once with my passport where I forgot. You know, and I just told somebody because I'm going on vacation in April. And this in the middle of the night last night, I woke up dreaming I had lost my passport. So, of course, I had to go to the, walk down the hall to the office and go, okay, where did I put it? So sometimes you forget. But, you know, hopefully people keep that applicator card right with their driver's license.
Well, sometimes they wash it.
Oh.
Yeah. So it doesn't exist anymore. they bring some funny stories that, I don't know, hard to believe sometimes.
All right. And they can always get a new one.
Yes.
Now, how long does the session take if somebody's kind of planning to come to this last one? How long does it usually take?
Well, it takes about 3 hours.
Okay.
Yes. And you need to be there the whole time.
Okay.
You cannot sneak out.
Okay.
Because you need to sign at the end in your affirmation form.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we take to the Department of Ag. And if you don't sign, it's like you were never there.
Okay. Now, do inspect, this is going to, maybe this sounds silly to some folks, but like with game fish and parks, is it necessary when you are doing the spraying to have that with you in your...
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it helps.
Okay.
Yes.
But it's another thing that can be checked. It can be verified that, yes, you've got it. But
you
like to think most people, you know, bring it, keep it with you.
Yeah, they have a lot of stuff in their wallet, so they don't remember that. But, yes, driver's license and your card, your old card.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So then what else has been keeping you busy through the winter months?
I've been doing a lot of grant writing.
Okay.
So I'm chasing some money.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, that's good.
Yes, and I'm trying to get some publications done, and that's really important. Sometimes we forget about those things, but how can you get your name out there, not only in South Dakota, but other states through the I-29 corridor? And that's a good way to have myself, you know, get to know all these big people too that probably will be willing to work with me sometime. Yes.
Sure. And sometimes people, you know, other states at one time, during the year, they probably have similar circumstances to what we go through.
Yes.
So is there an awful lot of information sharing between states as to try to help people out? If, yes, we've been in that circumstance and this is
For the forages area, I think so.
Okay.
It's really hard for South Dakota right now. South Dakota State University doesn't have a forage person anymore.
Oh.
So that position probably is not going to get filled anytime soon. So it makes things a little bit harder. Other states, you will have the field specialist in extension, and then you will have that tenure person that will do the teaching and the research.
Okay.
So that comes really handy when you want to work with them. But here you got to explore other ways to get your job done. I was lucky enough to get a grant through the Midwest Forage Association, and it was about cover crops.
Okay.
It wasn't very big. It's a 10,000 grants, and we're almost wrapping up. It was a good deal because when you look at cover crops, there's not a lot of information on how you can use those cover crops for forage supply.
Okay.
You can use your cover crops, get it planted, have your cattle graze, but what's the quality of those that you're planting on the ground?
Mm-hmm.
And would it help to the dairy industry? Of course it will.
Okay.
So it's just a year deal, but then you get to present that data and have people believe what you found. And when you're putting these small plots, it gets really difficult after corn, for example, or after winter wheat. You know, sometimes you will get involuntary things coming back up or a lot of weed pressures. But it's the reality of farmers, too.
Sure.
That's what we face
That's
on a daily
word.
Basis.
Involuntary. Sometimes we might have a different word for when it sneaks up where we don't want it.
Yeah, but okay. We can't say that.
No, we can't do that. So the grant money then would be going forward going to these trials then, or how would the grant money be used?
Yes, going to that trial.
Or yet to be determined.
Well, I guess... this was along with Wisconsin and Minnesota.
Okay.
So those are big, huge forages states.
Sure.
And once you get that information out, I think a lot of people are really looking for values.
Okay.
They want to see what is that cover crop blend that makes these radishes look so beautiful.
Sure.
And that my cattle likes it.
Okay.
And that's something we don't know. So we did 10 different blends. And now we're investigating what was in those blends that performed so well in two different locations.
Okay.
Because we really want to take that data and not set it up in my desk, but just to take it to field days. A lot of, you know, people want to know what's there.
Yeah.
People want to know, oh, I might be able to use that on my farm.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have have money left, so I probably need to get more. I still have some samples, so we're gonna run each individual sample now and see what values we get and try to get that information to stakeholders. I am not entirely sure I will publish that in Agro first.
Okay.
Just because it's a grant, so you probably want to serve these people first and then get it into Agro. But it was a neat work done, because when you look at the forages area, it's not only alfalfa.
Okay.
And that makes my job really difficult, because they get swamped with a lot of alfalfa questions, and
yes.
The other forages get like not even touched anymore.
Okay.
But the other grant we're trying to put up is about winter injury. That's what I wanted to talk to you.
Sure.
When in South Dakota last year, if I remember right, we got a lot of winter kill.
Okay.
And you remember last winter, probably.
I for some reason, this one is sticking in my mind so much I have trouble remembering last
year. This one, according to Farmer, wasn't that bad either. It was an open winter.
Yeah, it really wasn't. We just kind of forget that our winter basically has been the last 7 weeks.
Yes.
And that's it.
Yes.
But last year was tough, too.
I think it was very tough.
Okay.
But this year, I think it's that trend or pattern of, you know, having warm temps and all of a sudden really cold temps. And getting that freezing rain and then getting that snow, having that snow melted and going back again.
Yeah.
That really makes a stress in the plants and the crops, too.
Okay.
So we saw a lot of winter kill last year, and this year might be the same thing as well.
Okay.
And a lot of people are asking me, how soon can we get into the field and determine if we got winter kill? Well, the easiest answer for that is when we are not having any snow on the ground anymore.
Okay.
So we want to evaluate, you know, different varieties, probably a bigger plot, 20 species or 20 varieties, and see how, you know, get it planted, get established, don't touch it until next year, then seed. Even for seed production too, and see if they're more vulnerable to winter injury or even winter kill. And you see, I'm saying two different things here.
Winter injury and winter kill.
Winter injury is like you got a cold and recover in 3 days.
Okay.
Winter kill, you got pneumonia, went to the hospital and die.
Okay.
I mean, that's the worst case scenario.
Okay.
Winter injury, you can recover.
All right.
When you get winter injury, you might start seeing some wilting in your alfalfa, but then you get some warm weather that it will help that alfalfa to keep going. So you don't have to even worry about replacing it.
Okay.
Winter kill,
done.
You're done.
Okay.
You're done. And with alfalfa, the tricky thing is, I planted alfalfa this year, is that I cannot plant alfalfa again next year.
Oh, okay.
So you need to go into a rotation. How long can you wait? You need to wait a year without planting alfalfa.
Okay.
And I get that question a lot. And being Puerto Rican myself, you know, I'm not the classic farm girl, you know.
No, I wouldn't say that.
I mean, but they don't believe me. Yeah. And they go ahead and plan it and nothing comes up. And then, well, I told
Didn't
you.
Didn't I tell you?
Yeah. But the key thing here is we see this beautiful alfalfa coming up through the growing season, and we reach to the point of October. Well, we still have good temps. We don't have any snow. The winter is not really close by any means, but we don't have the first winter kill.
Okay.
And we think we can go ahead and cut that alfalfa. It looks pretty. I want to get my last cutting out of the way. And sometimes that's a big mistake.
Yeah.
And the problem with that is you don't let anything on the ground to catch any snow.
Right.
All those roots, really, you're taking, I mean, they're still below ground, but they don't have anything else to support that coming growth.
Right.
And when you get winters like this one, where you really don't have a lot of snow cover through the whole winter season, that's a huge concern.
Okay.
And the trend is to have winter kill.
Okay.
So after you have winter kill and you panic yourself, what do you do?
Let's take a brief break and we'll be right back and know the difference between winter injury and winter kill. We're back. Carlo Hernandez joins us once again, and another one of our highly paid guest hosts that comes in
I
while Chuck's
gone. I just love that statement.
Don't you like that?
Yeah.
Well,
Makes me dream.
Tracy sometimes gets paid in Oreo cookies.
Yeah.
You know, and then once I revealed that, then of course Warren wanted some, Pete wanted some. You know, everybody wanted the Oreo cookies.
Or Subway sandwiches.
Well, you know, I mean, you know, it's just anything. You know, it's what Chuck can afford, you know, and he's, you know, he can hardly afford anything, right?
So we love it anyways.
When last we were talking about winter kill and winter injury, and so I guess we don't know if this winter is wrapped up.
No, I don't think so.
So what is your best guess? Are we in some cases, are we in between the two, or are we...
That's a good question for Lara Edwards. I don't know. You can get storms even in April.
Sure, yeah.
So we hope not.
Yeah.
But I think we're almost in the little tail part of the winter season, yes.
Now, you had a lot of test plots that you put out last fall. All of those results are published?
Yes, they are, but they weren't established in the fall. They were in the spring.
Oh, in the spring. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
okay.
Yes. Now we're trying to kill off our alfalfa at the Northeast Station.
Okay.
Because it's a 4-year-old stand, and for me, that's old. You know,
okay.
It just becomes so thin after 4 years that what to even look. But we'll probably put a bigger plot.
Okay.
And I think that'll be really helpful. Just our problem is machinery, you know, equipment.
Oh.
But that's something we play behind the scenes. You don't got to worry about that. A lot of the questions now are based on something that we call sainfoin. And that's a crop that we don't grow it in South Dakota very much.
Okay.
It was developed in Montana.
Okay.
But all through these pesticide applicator trainings, a lot of people are asking me if I'm going to plant sainfoin with cover crops.
Okay. How is that spelled?
S-A-I... N-F-O-I-N.
Okay.
Sainfoin. Yeah.
Okay.
It's really hard to establish.
Okay.
And we tried and we failed. And I think it's because we did it very late in June.
Okay.
It seems like you have to do it right, like alfalfa,
right away.
Mid-April.
Okay.
You need a moisture and you need to stratify that seed too, which we didn't do. And it gets a little bit complicated. But a lot of producers are looking into that. And I think we're going to put a plot out there to see if we are successful this time.
Okay.
I think they're looking a lot of values for crude protein.
Okay.
So that's what they want to know, if it performs good in cover crops.
Well, if it was developed in Montana, they would be drier, one would assume, than we are here.
Yes.
So,
but it's really hard to establish here, and I don't know why. So I asked Vance Owens, who was in this position many, 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 many years ago.
Okay.
And he said he also wasn't successful with that. Because it's really hard to get it on the ground and keep going, you know. Just like alfalfa, too, sometimes.
Okay.
If you don't do it right, then you got to start over. It's just pretty much as everything in life.
Yeah.
But with alfalfa, I think the hits I can give you is if you face some winter kill, call me. I would like to see those plots.
Okay.
They're really fun to see. Not really. Because you see this gap in your field of something that is dead.
Okay.
And then you see new regrowth coming, and and it just doesn't look really good, and people get stressed out. But what are your options for planting? You can go through other perennial grasses to plant, like orca grass, Timothy grass are good options for you, and even tall fescue. And I know tall fescue is really a good crop. Not only in South Dakota, but in Iowa, they use it a lot there.
Okay.
You can use red clover as well as small grains or annual cool season grasses. And that will keep you going for a little bit if you interseed.
Okay.
Just the key point, if you don't think you can rescue alfalfa, just go ahead and interseed and keep it, stretch it out for another year, and then see how your luck is for the next couple of months. It's really hard to say, and it's kind of the frustrating part of the job, because you don't know.
Yeah.
You wish you can tell these farmers, well, you're going to be okay, but if your stand is really old, it's going to be more susceptible to winter kill.
Okay.
And I've seen that through my fifth year in this job.
Wow.
Yeah, it seems like it was yesterday in 2013, but it's been 5 years in 10 in South Dakota.
Oh,
so
my.
10 winters. How about that? It's pretty impressive.
Well, we've had a couple of nice ones, but we've also had a couple of miserable ones. And this one's been, like you say, you know, this one's just been so hard to figure, because we got through November with hardly any snow, and then through December, I guess through November and December and January, we would get snow an inch and a half at a time.
Yes.
And we had probably a half dozen of those occasions where an inch and a half at a time we would get this, and it was the kind of thing where you, by the fifth or sixth time, you started wondering, okay, moisture situations.
Yes.
And I know, you know, people say, well, a snowstorm doesn't necessarily help you with the moisture that you're, you know, but
it does.
It helps.
I'm pretty sure this one that we got.
The last one.
I think we got 8 inches in Watertown,
yeah.
If I'm
well,
right.
Well, the last two have been close to 10, yeah.
I think that brought a lot of moisture. But I see this year going again towards that drought.
Okay.
And it just seems to trend every year, because if you don't see moisture during the winter and then you start really dry during the summer months, that's really not a good thing for the crops, you know, for anything, for corn, for soybeans, for alfalfa, for anything. And then you get stressed and you need to know, you know, what information farmers need to know and how to manage that situation.
Okay.
Because there's a lot, they're talking about a lot of depression going on with the current situation, finances and the farm business. And that's our job, to get the best from us to help these people out.
Everybody's always looking for their bottom line, and you know, what is the practical sense of making the most money you can with the existing land that you do have, and what's the best use of it. And I know everybody tries to you know, be great caretakers of the land that they are lucky enough to own, and at least you hope that. And but that's a big part of it. And then, of course, you mentioned Laura's name and the variables. You know, every it seems like we get Laura on every time when it's
the
week after bad, and that's what we do. If you know, she is responsible, and if she's not right, then we remind her of that. But
weather here is so unpredictable.
Yeah,
so
it's,
you
a
never know.
Go. Yep. It's a tough go. So tell us again when the next pesticide applicator training is coming up.
It will be next week, March 22nd, from 6 o'clock to 9 o'clock p.m.
Okay.
We start registering people. We are always try to be there an hour before the training. You give us some time to see how many people are coming, if we're getting 70 or 100 people. And make sure you bring your driver's license as well as your old card. Because that one has your barcode number, which will help us to get you registered on the system.
Okay. Anybody wants to get in contact with you, how can they do that?
Oh, they can do. They can call at 605-882-5140. That's the office. And I'm sure Jan, if I'm not there, she will text me and she'll make sure that I return calls.
Okay.
She's great on that, so.
And you'll be.
I know she's listening. She told me she'll be listening. I always panic when people listen to me. But you got to do what you got
to
do.
Well, yeah. And so, well, and it won't be too long, and you'll be out and about going out to fields to take a look at things. And I think a lot of people are looking forward to that.
Yes. I enjoy that part of the season in South Dakota. It's challenging, but it's also a learning curve, too.
Especially for a Puerto Rico girl.
I know. I've been thinking about taking a vacation, but then you get all done with your PATs and then get into growing season and then wrapping up August, September, October, and
Yeah.
Not much time to do that.
We asked you, I think the last time when you were in here, we talked a little bit about, you know, because a lot of people saw what happened in Puerto Rico.
Yes.
And I know you said your family was, where they were, was okay or better than a lot of places, or what was?
We were lucky enough that we didn't have any damage.
Okay.
They got power back a week after they came back. From South Dakota to Puerto Rico.
Okay.
So about 7 months.
Yeah, because I think your family was here the last time. Okay.
Yes. There's a lot of towns that still have no power, no running water.
Oof.
And you got to laugh at this because there's a lot of politics involved in how to fix the whole system when the system was so old.
Yeah, when it was bad to begin with.
And it's just, it hurts me to see people suffering, you know, and... But what can you do?
Yeah.
But there's still quite a ways.
Okay.
There's other areas like San Juan, if you're familiar with, which is the capital and the bigger places where all the rich people go, that they're all like nothing happened.
Okay.
But once you get into the country, deep in the country, you'll see a lot of damage still.
Yeah.
And dairy farmers, beef cattle producers out there are really suffering.
Yeah. We were in, I was in Puerto Rico, and we were in the Dorado Beach area, which would be
touristic.
The west.
Yeah.
The west. And at that point in time, it wasn't as developed as I'm sure it is now.
Yeah.
But in between, you know, we drove through areas as we went to San Juan a couple of times, and it was, you know, you just had visions of a real strong wind with the structure I'm looking at, and I'm thinking, I don't
know. It goes away.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, And it's just frightening, and our thoughts are with those folks, Ben.
Thank you.
With that,
appreciate
so.
It. We hope we don't, because this is the funny part. We haven't fixed anything, and we're pretty soon going to get into the hurricane season again.
Yeah.
So they, you know, the weather, and they say hurricanes will come more strong and strong and strong every year.
Yeah.
So we pray they can do something for them.
All right, very good. Carla Hernandez, thanks for coming in. And I'm sure Chuck will be sending you your large check. It'll be a large.
For